Good evening. I get a good shot of JC here. It's like I can pick on JC tonight. Might want to turn it upside right. The gospel of peace. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. King James Version. And in Ephesians 6, verse 15 from the New Century Version, on your feet wear the good news of peace to help you stand strong. This was mentioned, or that might even, I know it was in the prayer, I can't remember if it was in the prayer at the 5:30 session or if it was in the prayer this evening. But an election is coming. I have no idea who I'm going to vote for. I wish there was a fourth candidate. But an election is coming. And one of the major topics is war. What do we do about the war in which we find ourselves? We'll be electing a president, and we'll be electing half of Congress. Did you know that we only elect half of Congress every 4 years? So we've got some major decisions to be making about war, about economics. But I'd like to talk about peace this evening. Americans want peace. Just got to watch the news, listen to people talk. Americans want peace. All through our life as the United States of America, we have pursued peace with vigor, I think. We want peace. We are basically a people of peace, a people of hope, of future peace. And the New Testament message is sometimes called the gospel of peace. At the end of the Cold War, many Americans thought, and probably many in the world thought, finally there can be peace on earth. Finally we could seek and peace, but we could also take our resources, all that money that we've poured into wars, and we could actually use this money and the skills of Americans to further peace in the world. Something that would help all humankind was a great dream, but it was only that, a dream. Because mankind without God knows no peace. The Balkan Wars, the Iraqi War, the Afghanistan War, Africa is full of wars. There were wars in Asia. All of this since the end of the Iron Curtain and the Cold War. And it seems that there will always be a potential for war. There is still hatred and jealousy. And where there is hatred, where there is jealousy, there's going to be war. Whether in the family, within the government, between governments, there is always the possibility and the potential that hatred will stir the spirit of man and he will go to war. But there is also a constant barrage of news that speaks of crime, that speaks of violence, even within the families, within our schools. We read of wives that are abused of husbands, and believe it or not, you can even read about husbands that are abused by their wives. There are children that are abused by mothers and fathers. Hate is tearing apart not only the family, but the fabric of our nation. Peace. It is coveted and it is cherished. But peace was lost a long time ago with Adam. What happened after Adam and Eve were put out of the garden? We read how relationships got worse and worse and worse till a brother killed his brother. And the crime and the hate and the murder continued on to our time today. When driven from the presence of God, mankind can find no peace. Since then, we have turned every stone. We've looked behind every tree, so to speak, for peace. We pray for it. We fight for it. Millions of Americans have died in the name of peace. But have we found it? For many, it seems to be the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. We seek it, we want it, but peace appears to be elusive. We cannot grasp it. When we think we have it, it slips through the fingers. So near and yet so far. If only someone would come up with a peace formula that works. How sweet it would be in modern youth language. How sweet it would be. But there is good news. Someone has found a plan of peace that can work. That man was Jesus Christ. He brought the good news of peace. The true message of God is always good news. He does not bring bad news. He brings good news. He is the God of peace, as the Bible calls him. In Romans 16:20, Paul says, "The God who brings peace will soon defeat Satan and give you power over him. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." But the world has rejected God. The world has rejected the peace plan that God has offered. In their conceited hearts, they seek their own peace. 700 years before the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth toward men," was sung. The prophet Isaiah made this statement in Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 5. "In the last days, the mountain on which the Lord's temple stands will become the most important of all mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and people from all nations will come streaming to it. Many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob.' Then God will teach us His ways, and we will obey His teachings. His teachings will go out from Jerusalem. The message of the Lord will go out from Jerusalem. He will settle arguments among the nations and make decisions for many nations. Then they will make their swords into plows and their spears into hooks for trimming trees. Nation will no longer fight other nations, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, family of Jacob, and let us follow the way of the Lord." This is a cornerstone prophecy about the coming Messiah. It would establish a, or he would establish a kingdom of peace. The Jews had heard such scriptures in their synagogues from small children. They had great hope in the coming of the Messiah. And then Jesus was born, and the angels sang about peace. Jesus was born of a virgin in Bethlehem of Judea, exactly as the prophets had spoken of. All the prophecies of old were fulfilled in Jesus. The Jewish people, the people of Israel, had a hope that peace would come. Everything depended upon Jesus. Would he fulfill the kingdom prophecies of the Old Testament? To fail in just one of them would be fatal, because that would mean the prophets have lied or Jesus would not be the Messiah. Jesus knew that. And when he came preaching, listen to what he preached. Mark 1:15, "The right time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Change your hearts and lives and believe the good news. The kingdom that they were waiting for. Jesus said, it is near. When it had been powerfully proven that Jesus was the Messiah, He was the Son of God, He had been resurrected from the dead, He ascended to the Father and sat at the right hand, and His kingdom of peace began. He is the Prince of Peace. The kingdom of peace of which the prophets had spoken is a reality. That story is referred to in our text as the Gospel of Peace. But you might say, Monty, we aren't at peace. Nations fight nation. Brother kills brother. Husband wives and wives husbands. We do not have peace. All the fights and all the conflicts, all the bitterness, all the hatred, the crime you talked about, all points to the fact that we do not have peace. And you're correct, we don't. But why don't we have peace? Because we have rejected God's peace plan. Not we personally, but mankind has rejected the peace plan of God. We have rejected the Prince of Peace. It isn't the failure of God or Christ or the Old Testament prophets. It is the failure of mankind to come under the reign of Jesus that our world has no peace. The Holy Spirit says this of Jesus in Ephesians 2:14. I could say Paul, the Apostle Paul wrote this, but he wrote by the Spirit of God. So I say the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit of God says in Ephesians 2:14, Christ Himself is our peace. He made both Jewish people and those who were not Jews one people. They were separated as if there were a wall between them, but Christ broke down that wall of hate by giving His own body. And in His own words, Jesus said this to His disciples in John 14:27, I leave you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does. So don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. The second reason why we do not have peace upon this earth is Jesus brought a whole different kind of peace than what mankind expected. A reason why peace seems to be so elusive. Not only have we rejected God's divine peace plan, we are looking for the false type of peace. Peace is not merely an absence of combat, an absence of conflict. Neither is peace to be confused with apathy. Peace is not inactivity, the ability to just sit around with folded hands and watch the needy suffer, or the lost world rush off in every direction pursuing destruction. Nor is peace sterility or stagnation. It is not an attitude of non-involvement. In his book, a man by the name of W. Philip Keller, he's not a member of the church, but he is a believer, wrote a book called A Gardener Looks at the Fruits of the Spirit. And in that book he said, the path of peace is not strewn softly with rose petals. Rather, it is a tough trail trampled out with humble heart and lowly spirit despite its rough rocks of adversity. I think he has grasped the idea of the peace that Jesus will bring. Jesus said, my peace is not as the world gives it. When the world thinks of peace, what does our world think of? No conflict, no adversity, and usually peace after my plan. Well, you know, in Palestine, the Palestinians have one view of peace, the Jews another, the UN another, the United States another. Which peace plan These are peace plans of mankind. And Jesus said, my peace is not as the world would give it. You see, the peace plan of God is a peace plan that begins in the heart of man when man begins to have a relationship with God. Jesus came, first of all, to bring peace between God and man, and secondly, between man and man. But first, we must have a relationship with God, peace with God in our hearts. The prophet wrote of this peace, and this is the peace that Jesus spoke of. The peace that passes all understanding is the serenity to accept the unavoidable and the inevitable in life with grace and gratitude. Peace of mind does not depend upon status. It does not depend upon circumstances or beauty or wealth, as many of mankind would wish. It begins with a relationship to God. I love the words we find to be found in Philippians chapter 4, the verses 6 through 9. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. And God's peace, not the peace of mankind, but God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it. Now listen to what the peace of God, the peace that God meant by the prophets, listen to what the peace of God can do. The peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? We can have peace in the middle of adversity because God is King of our hearts. Brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. He's talking about now this peace that's in our heart. And these are the thoughts that peace should bring. When we have peace in our heart, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Do what you learned and receive from me, what I told you and what you saw me do. And the God who gives peace will be with you. You see, the peace of God, even in adversity, will bring us to the point where we think of true things, honorable things, pure things, beautiful things, respected things. This is the peace that God gives to us. The peace that Jesus brought was this peace of heart, knowing we have a relationship with God and have the hope of everlasting life with Him. Furthermore, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. If you had the Spirit of God in you, one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. I mean, excuse me. Why am I talking about peace? Listen to this. This is from Galatians 5, 22, 23, and verse 25. But the Spirit produces the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of patience, the fruit of kindness, the fruit of goodness, the fruit of faithfulness, the fruit of gentleness, the fruit of self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. If these things are in your life, then the Spirit is in control of your life. Of course, if the opposite of these things are in your heart, than the Spirit of God, you're resisting. Verse 25 says, we get our new life from the Spirit. So we should follow the Spirit. If we fight the Spirit who is in us, if we don't follow His way, these fruit won't develop. But peace is listed as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If we claim the promise of the Holy Spirit, what about the fruit of the Spirit? Peace in the heart that passes understanding. along with all these other wonderful virtues that he brings. All these promises for a future date? Or are these promises for when we get to heaven? Jesus said these are the fruit of the Spirit. These are things that should be developing in the life of a Christian as he lives upon the earth. Peace in the heart that passes understanding, love, joy, and kindness are things not of the future but of now for Christians. This peace of God that passes understanding is that peace with God that we read about in Romans 5:1. Since we have been made right with God by our faith, we have peace with God. This happened through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace has eluded many of us because we have sought it in the wrong places. Peace cannot be found in alcohol, cannot be found in drugs, it cannot be found in evil places. It can only be found in Jesus Christ and in accepting His way to peace. Peace of mind is found in peace with God, and it is only possible through Jesus Christ, not our arrogance and not our pride. It cannot be found in the psychiatric ward. It cannot be found in a hype religion. It can only be found in Jesus Christ and the acceptance of His way. There's a hymn in our songbook, and I forgot to write the title, but the words go like this. They don't go like this. I wrote it from the songbook, so they go exactly like this. Prince of Peace, control my will. Bid the struggling heart be still. Bid my fears and doubting cease. Hush my spirit into peace. Thou hast bought me with thy blood. Open wide the gate of God. Peace I ask, but peace must be, Lord, in being one with thee. May thy will and mine be one. Chase these doubtings from my heart. Now the perfect peace impart. Peace in the world, in the nation, and in the home. Peace that passes understanding begins when we make peace with God, which can only be through Jesus Christ. I find it amazing that so many people reject the peace plan of God. If it has been so in your life, if you have rejected the peace plan of God, it is not too late to put behind you a life of strife, of conflicts, of bitterness, of hatred. It's not too late to stop feuding and quarreling. It is not too late to stop hating and being jealous. There is still time to repent and to come to Jesus and follow His ways. You can be immersed this night into the Prince of Peace. You can be reconciled to God. You can have the true peace that passes understandings, that will bring you through adversity, that will bring you through suffering, that will bring you to eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. This can happen tonight, and I wish and I hope that you find grace and mercy and peace in Jesus Christ as we come and stand and sing.